Blog Talk Radio.
What if you call me and don't feel me near you? Will you still trust me? What if I tell you to let go of the very thing that you think you have to hold? Will you trust me? Yes, I'll trust you, Lord. What if it costs my life? Yes, I'll trust you, Lord. What if I lose the very thing I love so dear? Yes. Somebody say, yes, I'll trust you, Lord. Somebody say, yes. Come on, put your hands up and say, yes, I'll trust you. I'll trust you. I'll trust you. I can hear Jesus singing. He says this.
I know the thing is easy when everything is going well. But can you still believe in me when your life's a living hell? And when all the things around you seem to quickly fade away, there's just one thing I really want to know. Will you let go? Stand on my word. Against all odds, will you believe what I have said?
I trust you, Lord.
What seems impossible?
I trust you, Lord.
Will you believe?
I trust you, Lord.
Every promise that I made to you.
Every day, every day, every day.
Oh,
I will.
in some.
Praise God, praise God. We just thank God for being here tonight. Pastor Arnold, I'm trying to open up your mic, but we know we're dealing with technology, and sometimes the devil is trying to hinder us from what you have to say, but the devil is alive. We are going to get you on here, so please bear with me. But in the meantime, if we can just praise God and just give God glory and give him honor, if we could just worship him, we could thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord God. Oh, shoot. It's not on channel. Praise God. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We glorify your name. You are worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're having difficulties, but we're going to get this thing together.
Just start praising them.
Just start praising them. Praising them.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. No barriers in our way. God is always there. He's Almighty El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, hallelujah, to meet every one of our needs. He's Jehovah Jireh, our holy provider. And I don't know about you, but I need him every day of my life. And I give him the praise tonight. I thank him for each one of you that are on with us on the blog tonight. And I ask God to give you a special blessing, that special that you need from him, that boost that you need to keep going and to get deeper into him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's always ready and waiting for you. And God, I thank you for that. I thank you for moving that little barrier out the way tonight so that we can be with your people and we can impart to them and they impart to us. And we give you praise right now in the holy name of Jesus. And we're going to thank God for Pastor Wanda that's going to give you a word of inspiration. And the next voice you hear will be mine again. God bless you. Hallelujah, Pastor.
Hallelujah. I give God
glory. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name, O Lord. Bless your holy name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you so much, Father. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a lot of times we don't be aware of it. Hallelujah. Because we think too much on the outside of everything. Hallelujah. We must get where we pay attention. Hallelujah. To the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what he means when he said, meditate on him. Meditate on him day and night. Be as a tree planted by his rivers of water that bring forth his fruit and his season, so you can hear what he wants you to do, when he wants you to do it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I think about sacrifices. People don't realize that materialism is just that, materialism. Hallelujah. Right now, we're just materialistic. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Don't realize that we are actually the spirit, a spirit, having this physical experience. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. When the spiritual spirit enters therein, you become a strong vessel of God. Hallelujah. And only he can do that for you. Only he can do that. He can take it all away. He can take everything away. At the blinking of the eye, hallelujah, heartbeat, a stomp of your foot, it all can be taken away from you. There's this wonderful song that I love to hear Apostle Arnold sing, and it's called What Shall I Render? Hallelujah. And I often think of that song. I love it so much. And it is, what is it that I shall render? And it comes to me one day, everything. Everything, my entire life, my mind, my body, my soul, all I render unto him. I was standing in a grocery store one night, and as I was going out of the sliding doors, it came to me that I would give up my life for the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, that I give it up because everything that I have belongs to him. All that I am and all that I can ever hope to be, all my desires and all my possibilities, it belongs to him. We are nothing without him. There are traps laid for each and every one of us every day. Some of them are beautiful. Some of them are ugly. Some of them are nothing. Some of them just are. Hallelujah. But they are distractions to take your mindset off of a God set, to put your mindset on the fleshly realm, on the earthly realm. He is so good to us. He is so loving and so kind. He'll open your eyes if you ask him to open your eyes. And he will close your eyes even though you didn't ask for them to be closed. He's such a good God, such a wonderful God. He answers all our prayers, not some of them. He tells us how to pray. He said, if you pray believing, you shall receive. He said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. And the wonderful thing about it, he said, there is nothing that you can ask for that I won't do. Come on there. Such a good God. Such a wonderful God. Such a way maker. I thank God for allowing me this time to speak to you. I hope that it did not fall on deaf ears.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
What shall I render to Jesus? What shall I give, oh Lord? What shall I render to Jesus? What shall I give? I give my heart. I render it, Lord Jesus. My heart I give, oh Lord. My heart I render to Jesus. My heart I give. Oh, yes, Lord. My soul I render to Jesus. Lord, I give, oh Lord, my soul, I render to Jesus, my soul, Lord, I give. Oh, yes, Lord. My life I render to Jesus. My life, Lord, I give. Oh, Lord. Lord, my life I render to Jesus. My heart, my soul, my life, Lord, I give. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, God has given me to speak to us from the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter. And we're talking about Joseph. And what God is telling us today is don't be a braggart. Don't brag about what God has done for you. Things that he do for you, let it be in secret unless he tell you to tell somebody else, or unless they can see it. And be sure to say, God did it. God did this for me. That's why I'm so grateful. But don't brag about what you are and who you are in the Lord. Don't brag about you got the best looking car on the street, or your house is the finest house on the street. Joseph turned out to be a braggart. His brothers knew that his father favored him over all the rest of them because of Rachel, the wife that he dearly loved. And he loved Leah. He grew to love her, but Rachel was his heart. And she only bore two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And so he made a coat of many different colors for Joseph to wear. That really infuriated his older brothers because he was one of their younger brothers. It really infuriated them to the point that they decided one day we're gonna get rid of him. He told them about the dream that he had first. He told his brothers that we were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheep rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brother. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brother, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. You see, I believe before Abraham passed and Jacob was just a little boy, Isaac told them about how he had been born, how it was supernatural only by God. His parents were both well past the childbearing stage. They weren't even looking at each other in that way anymore. But God had just imparted into them strength and even more love that Isaac was born. And from that union, but God also told Abraham, "If you can count the number of stars in the sky, you'll never be able to count the number of seed that's going to come from your loins. If you could count the number of sand on the seashore, you still cannot count the number of seed that's coming from your loins." Jacob began to think about these things. And he also told Abraham, hallelujah, that your seed was going to go down into Egypt, and they're going to stay there 400 plus years. And then I'm going to send a deliverer to take them back out and go into the promised land that I promised your father. And see, they were already living in Canaan. That was the land that the father had given them. But when they went down, all of that, let me tell you, when God tells you something, it doesn't matter how long it takes. You see, your timing is not our timing. It's not the same as the Lord. But you believe when he speaks to you, or when he speaks to a true prophet and give you a word coming from the Lord, you can count on it. You see, Joseph didn't say, "This can't happen." Jacob didn't say, "It can't happen." Joseph believed it because he had been taught to believe in God the Father, the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, the Trinity. He had been taught to believe in them. He had sat at his father's feet many a time, listening to all the wondrous things that had happened, how his grandfather had traveled over the miles, children, and God blessed them and brought them to a good place. Hallelujah. And he knew if God said it, it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, but I believe it's going to happen. And that's why he was so boastful about it. You know, you can boast about something that you know is going to come to pass. You know it's already in operation. But God doesn't want us to be braggarts, because braggarts can take us a route that we don't want to go. It carried Joseph to a route that I dare say he did not want to go. Just 17 years old, and his father, they were out in Dothan. They were out with the sheep, and Joseph's father sent him to go see about his brothers and to take food to them. And they seized this opportunity to sell him. And they had gone to Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, as you know, your brothers are gazing at sheep over in Dothan. Go and see about them. They're where, he said. When he went to Dothan, they weren't there. They had gone on to Shechem, which is a direct trading route that merchants come that way on their way to Egypt. So when he got to them, that's over in verse 23. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat their meal. They looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." And his brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. Reuben had thought to come back and get his brother out of the cistern and to take him back to his father. But when he got there, they had Joseph's robe, and they killed one of the animals and put the animal's blood on his robe, and they carried that back to their father to say, "Isn't this Joseph's robe? Something terrible has happened to him." So immediately Joseph's heart was broken. I mean Jacob, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Jacob's heart was broken. But Joseph, not knowing what was going to happen to him, but he knew he had the favor of God in his life. You know, no matter how long we've been saved, whether we're prophets, anointed, whatever, glory be to God. If we don't stay in line with God, something like this could happen. But then it can go to no good end. But God had favor with Joseph. He loved Joseph, not because of Jacob, but because he had a plan. Then he tells us in Jeremiah that I have a plan for you, a plan for your life. Well, you see, when he finished all the books in heaven, before he came and recreated the earth, he laid his plan out. In each one of our books, our plan is laid out in our books. And that's how things are going from Genesis through to Revelation, to bring forth the plan that God had when he spoke it to Jeremiah. This was according to God's plan. Because remember, he had already told Abraham that your seed is going to go down into Egypt. It wasn't that many at that time. I think it was about 70 or 71. And they were going to go into Egypt, but they would come out, millions of them. Millions of them came out. Hallelujah. But this is what happened. He was a beautiful young man. And we have to be careful, because when we look good and we smell good and we talk very respectfully and we can do a whole lot of things, everything that we set our hands to do, God gave us favor and God works it out, such as it was for Joseph. When they got to Egypt, hallelujah, in 38, no, thank you, Jesus, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, who was one of Pharaoh's officials and the captain of the guard. Oh, he just had so much favor with him, Joseph did. But it wasn't because of Joseph, but it was God in Joseph that drew Potiphar to him. Even in the midst of our troubles, God is always there. He's always have a way of escape, like he did for Abraham when he took Isaac up to offer him up as a living sacrifice. God told him, hold it. There's an oxen in the hallelujah, in the bush. God has already made a way. He's already made a preparation. He had already laid out the plans for Joseph, because he knew ahead of time that his brothers was going to sell him to the Midianites. And when he got there, everything his hand touched was blessed. Potiphar began to increase. Everything was going beautiful for him. But that wife of his, she was a very promiscuous woman, and she had designs on Joseph. But Joseph was a man of God. He had God in his heart. He had lived according to the statutes that his father had laid out to him. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And when he wouldn't do what she wanted him to do, he was running from her, and she grabbed his coat, and she kept it. And it was made with the Hebrew colors. Nobody else except the Hebrew would have had a coat with those colors. And then she told her father, her husband began to scream and tell the people what Joseph was doing for her. But you see, for one thing, when God give us a vision, or God give us a dream, write it down and date it. Don't go and tell it, because as surely as you tell it, Satan can hear it. If it's in your heart, there's nothing he can do about it. But he will set out his demonic spirits with assignments against you to make sure that that dream or that vision does not come to pass. But see, he doesn't know God is so much over him, so far above him, that no matter what he tries to do, if we are firm in him and not fearful, God will move and he'll make a way. He'll make a way for you to be able to escape. And that's what he did for Joseph. As he was in chains, down in this dungeon, oh God, you cannot even imagine what being in a dungeon was in those days. If you think the prisons are hard, but now it's nothing compared to what the dungeons used to be. But Joseph was so good at what he was doing that the captain of the guard kept giving him things and more things to do and more things to do. Then he put him over some people. And then the ultimate, we see where the plan for his being there is about to unfold. God may allow you to have to go to a place. You've never been there before. You're all alone. Don't know how things are going to work out. You don't know where you're going to live. Such was the case when I ran revival in Detroit, 1992. And I was only supposed to do it for a week. They asked me to come back. Don't leave, stay. I said, I have to take my mother and Mother Pledger back to Atlanta. If you do that, nobody's going to come. I said, I'll be back Wednesday. If nobody comes, nothing lost. Hallelujah. But when I got back that Wednesday, the parking lot was full. I didn't even know where I was going to park my car. And God kept it like that until March 30th. There were many healings. There was many miracles. You see, and I had to get an apartment. I was staying in a hotel, and that wasn't a very nice hotel. I mean, you can hear bumps in the night and keeping you awake and all that. So I said, I can't stay here. Oh, no, I can't stay here. So I told the pastor, and he carried me to this apartment, and I filled out an application. God was blessing me, and I was sending money home. And I didn't know until a year later that I was the only black person in that whole apartment complex. And it was in Sterling Heights, which was a very prejudiced area, and they didn't let blacks come into that area. I said, oh, my God, I really didn't know that. But, you know, God kept me. They were so nice to me. And they called me in Atlanta and said, you don't have to pay the first month's rent. Just when you come on back, you can just move on into the apartment. I said, look at God. Hallelujah. When you obey him and obedient to his word, there's nothing that God won't open up for you. And I'm not exalting myself, not by a long shot, because I live for God. I surrender my whole self to him, that he can use me in any way he wants to. And I yield to that. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to want to be with him, to want to know him, to want to be obedient to his word. Hallelujah. He laid his word out for us.
Yes,
he laid it out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He gave the Israelites a whole commandment, a whole lots of rules and regulations they had to go by. But for us, hallelujah, the commandments still stand. But because of Jesus, he came in, hallelujah, and he gave his life that we might inherit eternal life with the Father. Not only that, that we would be able to come directly to the Father. The Israelites had to go before the priest once a year. I mean, a whole lot of stuff could happen in a year. And you could not be in God's good graces. But I'm here to tell you, praise God, Joseph was in God's good graces, but God had to show him a lesson. Don't be a braggart. Don't exalt yourself over your family. Don't exalt yourself over your father and your mother. Hallelujah. Because God will take you down. He'll take you through. He'll allow Satan to come in and take you through. But one thing we can count on, in the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter, God said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I shall, not I might, not I think about it, but he said, I shall deliver them from them all. Hallelujah. So no matter how the enemy comes against us, they have to go before God to get permission. That's why he wrote the book of Job, to let us have an idea of how the enemy comes against us and go before him and accuse him of us. But he said, you can touch him, but you can't take their life. Because I know they're going to stand. They're not going to be tempted. They're not going to let go of me. Hallelujah. So we have to stop feeling sorry for ourselves, or yielding to temptation, yeah, and a whole lot of other mess. I want the best of everything, a covetous of what somebody else has. We've got to believe God and thank him that he's given us our best, the best that we can believe him for. He won't hold anything back from you. If you just believe and hold on, and don't every day. God sends out, oh God, blessings. He sends out blessings every day. Hallelujah. And we, blessings of mercy, and we can call on him, and when we feel like we're going astray, or we feel like it's too hard, that we can't push ourselves any further, we have to hold on to what we know. If it's nothing but the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, maybe you got to hold on to God. Oh, Koshaka, the world, hallelujah, is his, oh God, and everything in it. We got to remember those things. We got to know that we know that we know without a shadow of a doubt,
yeah,
that everything that God has said in his word, he means it. Everything he has put in there, he wants us to not just to memorize it, but he wants us to let it become a part of our life,
amen,
a part of our soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But when we reach for higher things and better and greater things, let it be through God. He's the only one. All of our aspirations, all of our achievements, it's not because of us, but it's because of God in us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's why some of you, when you ask for blessings of finances and whatnot, God doesn't give it to you right away, because if you get it, you're not going to do right by it. If you get it, you might just stop serving him and make that money be your God. And you're a woman in the church I was in many years ago. God blessed her with a large sum of money. She was faithful in church every Sunday, Friday night prayer meeting, Tuesday night Bible study, faithful, Sunday morning and Sunday night service. But when God blessed her with that money, oh, glory to God, she had her house built from the ground up, and every day, including Sundays, she was at that house watching the men as they began to build it. And when the building was through, and they told her, they gave her the keys and said, now you can move in, still not going to church, staying there watching what they're doing, this money and the car had become a God. Don't let money turn you. Don't let it turn you. Hallelujah. But when she got out of her car and walked around to the back of the car to go up the steps to the house, her car began to roll, and it knocked her down and rolled over her and killed her. She never walked into that house. She bragged about it. That's why God tells us, don't be braggarts. Joseph was a braggart. He bragged about God, what God was showing him. But he had a long time to think about it. About a couple of years, he's in this prison. And then it was time, because by then, I'm sure he had humbled himself. He had talked with God. He had prayed. He had given God praise that they had taken his life. He missed his family, and he knew God told him what was going to happen. He just didn't know how. But he believed that what God said, he's going to see his family again. I'm going to see them again. And when God knew that his heart was right, that he was ready for the next step, that he was ready to move up, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Don't you know Satan throw all kind of barriers, all kind of loopholes at us when God is getting ready to elevate us, to take us to a higher height and a deeper depth? Glory be to God. That's why God wants us to not be afraid to step out in the water, hallelujah. Get to his neck deep, not just ankle deep, not just knee deep, not just hip deep. He wants us to get out to the point that the only way, the only salvation that we have is in him.
Hallelujah.
It's in him.
Yes, it is.
But long as we can swim back, then we're doing our own. As long as we can do something.
Yes.
That's why he didn't let Sarah and Abraham have a child until they both were dried up and everything else and nothing working. But God is awesome. He knows how to turn around, how to make you look beautiful, make you veiled and all that kind of stuff. And he can keep you too, to keep you from fornicating. He can keep you. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm not talking to any particular one, But if the shoe fits, I want you to wear it. In the name of Jesus. And I give him the praise right now.
Hallelujah.
I give him the praise.
Yes.
God moved for Joseph. The baker and the cupbearer. The Pharaoh had gotten angry with them about something. And he sent them to the gallows. He sent them to the dungeon. And that was Joseph. And they both had a dream that night. And they told him the dream. Glory be to God. And Joseph told them, he answered the cupbearer's dream first. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Kind of turn over to that page. Thank you, Jesus. Sometime later, this is in chapter 40, if you're reading with me. The cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream." You see, when you're sure of your walk with God, and you know you don't have a lot of bullet holes in you, you don't have any pockmark, you don't have any dirty linen hanging up on the line, then you can tell a person that. Tell me your dream. Only God can interpret them. And he had to tell me. Hallelujah. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. And he said, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me. And on the vine were three branches. As soon as it bud, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." Sometimes God has to separate us so we can be before him, so he can minister into us. Glory be to God. And if you have a prayer partner and you can both pray together, I'm talking about a prayer partner, not a friend or associate, but a prayer partner that agrees in the same way that you pray, that will not be in disagreement when you say, "Pray with me that God will do this, or God will open up this, or he will show us that." And they will be saying, "I agree with you," and their prayer will be in agreement with you. Well, Joseph didn't have that, but he had a direct line unto God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And so he told him, "Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you. Hallelujah. Anyway, the chief cupbearer, we know he was going to be released in 3 days. And we know, hallelujah, that for the baker, there was a nest with the birds picking everything out. And Joseph told him, in 3 days, your head is going to be lifted off, and the birds will be eating your flesh. Hallelujah. So in the morning, the Pharaoh had a dream. And his mind was troubled. That's verse 8. So he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dream, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servant, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he had interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought before from the dungeon. He had to bathe and shave and all that stuff, so he would be clean as he presented himself before the Pharaoh. And after he had changed his clothes, he came before the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Hallelujah. "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." You know how he could do that? Standing in the presence of the Pharaoh that could kill him right there if he didn't answer correctly. But because of his walk with God, he wasn't letting Potiphar's wife pull on him. He said that I am true to God. I'm not unfaithful to God. Hallelujah. And he stayed that way, even in prison. Hallelujah. Even missing his family. But his cry was to God. "God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I believe the dreams that you gave me, and I know they're going to come to pass. I don't know how it is, but I believe it because you showed it to me, God. I believe it." We got to get to that point that we believe God, no matter how you feel, no matter what you see, no matter how shakaya, what people are saying about you or to you. You got to get to that point that you believe God in spite of, hallelujah, in spite of. Render your heart to him. Render your whole self to him. Hallelujah. Your life. Render it all to him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So he told him, "Thank you, Jesus. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. But none of them could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Hallelujah. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the, hallelujah, harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and all his officials, so Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace and all my people up to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Hallelujah. So just in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, God brought Joseph from the pit to the palace, placed in charge over Egypt. Hallelujah. And God can do that same thing for you. It may not be a Pharaoh or king that's over you. Hallelujah. But you should let God open the ways for you. Let him be the one, hallelujah, that will direct your pathways. Yeah. Ask him when you get up, God, order my thoughts and order my steps. Hallelujah. You want them to be ordered by God. You don't want to go your way, because your way is not always the best way. Hallelujah. And that's including me. Hallelujah. We all make mistakes, but we don't want to live in our mistakes. We don't want our mistakes to overtake us. We don't want to let go. We don't want to eat. Hallelujah, Lord. We don't want to mess up. We don't want to mess up. We don't have time to mess up. Jesus said quickly, things are happening. There are glaciers up in the north, in the coldest part, that are beginning to melt. What's going to happen when they keep melting? All that water is going to come down, and it's going to begin to flood lands. There's fires destroying California. There are fires that have been in other states. Everything, devastation is happening. God said, look up. Look up, hallelujah, and see what's going on around you. Read Mark 24 chapter. What he told his disciples, he said, when you see this happen, and follow what is happening in Israel, know what is happening in Israel. And I can tell you right now, from Bob heavens, hallelujah. Who is the, hallelujah, the counselor for Egypt, for Israel. And he had me on a call, a conference call, and he was explaining and showing me, hallelujah, I wrote some of it down, hallelujah, that Russia has guided missiles to hit in 30 minutes. In 15 to 30 feet, they can reach Israel. 130,000 guided missiles in Syria and Iran, north and south, will be in bomb shelters in Israel. And they don't have enough supplies, many without provisions, especially some of the refugees that they brought over to Israel. And they don't have provisions for all of them. That's why they welcome our help when we send money to ministers that we know for sure is directing that money to Israel. They have even put a child school under the ground for the children to be protected and a shelter for them underground. They've got a clinic, hallelujah, laryngitis, that's been built underground so that the people can be taken care of. Already, things have been, Iran have been shooting rockets over there. Oh, God, know what's happening. He said that he had sent Israel down in the midst of countries all around them that would be Israel's enemies. And they are. And I believe when they come against Israel, God is not going to let them even have to shoot a missile back to them. But I believe in my heart that God, hallelujah, is going to destroy them. And after that, the rapture is going to come in. Get it right with God. Get it right with God. You don't have time to play. You don't have time to boogaloo. You don't have time to be in the club. You don't have time to do that mess. All you got time to do is fall on your knees and cry out to the Lord. Ask him to show you the way he wants you to go. He'd be so happy to do it for you. But God, I've been sick a long time. Well, maybe you're not praying in the right way. You know, our prayers go up before the courts of heaven. And we've got to know how to really write the prayer for it to get in there. That's why God said, pray his word.
Yes.
Pray his word back to him. I prayed for you when I prayed his word. The Father, you said, hallelujah. When I pray with faith, believing, and not doubting in my heart, then I can have what I say. When Jesus said, abide in me, and I will abide in you, we got to start abiding in him first. How do? We get in the word. We begin to learn everything that we can about him. Hallelujah. We call on him. We lift him up. We praise him. We show him how grateful we are for the many blessings that we have. Hallelujah. And one thing, praise God, God said, when you pray, forgive. Forgive those that you have a hold in your heart against. Because if you don't, he will not hear your prayer. God said in the Lord's Prayer, well, he tells you to forgive your trespasses as I forgive you. If you don't forgive and you hold junk in your heart for years after years after years, hallelujah, God can't help you. Even though he may be trying, he can't, because he wants you to get everything out. In Psalms, the 24th chapter, it tells us that only the pure in heart shall see God, and those that are not wrapped up in vanities and all that junk, worshiping the things instead of him. Mm-hmm. Please be mindful. I thank God for this opportunity. I hadn't meant to be this long, but you know, it's God. And I thank my son for asking me. I didn't know what I was going to say. But I knew that God, he said, if you open your mouth, I'll speak through you. Hallelujah. He's done that so many times for me. When I'm in revival and I don't study it all day, and I get in up in the pulpit on the podium with the mic in my hand, and I can't even remember the scripture. Hallelujah. And that's when he gave me a song to sing, and he would give me a total different message. So I thank him. I'm grateful to him. I'm grateful to him for my son and my daughter-in-law. For God has a great work for you. Shikadamakaya. Together as a team. He told you years ago. Maria was a little shy, but now she's getting bolder and bolder. Oh, yes, God. Hashakaya. Hallelujah. Don't be shackled by heavy burdens. Don't let the enemy shackle you with anything. Give it to God. And I'm a living witness. I've had some good times. And I've had some bad times. I've had some near-death times. But God was there all the time, just as he's with you right now. Don't hurt him. Don't grieve his heart. Don't grieve his spirit. By loving other things more than you love him. He doesn't even want us to love our children more than we love him. And I'm going to close with this. I was so fervent in church. Oh, with the work God had given me. My husband, he and the boys used to go out on Thursday nights. And they would just flip a coin and see whether to go left or right. And then on Friday night, it was family night. And a lot of times we might go to a drive-in movie, or we might do the same thing, or just go out to eat. And on Saturday nights was his and my night, and we would go out to eat. We would go to La Carousel, which was where you could eat, a restaurant, but they also had live music. And then I got so entwined with one of the mothers of the church, and they changed the dates. The days for services. And it was like on Saturdays, I was out in the communities, going from door to door, praying for people, trying to see, you know, passing out tracts and all that, going into the hospitals. And my husband told me, he said, Rose, these your children too. And I'm going to start going out. You don't spend time with us. And God, I was trying to say, but God, I'm doing your work. But God told me, you're out of order. He said, God first, me first. Then your spouse. Then yourself. And then your children. And lastly, number five, the work that you do for me. You're out of order. If you take it any other kind of way. God first, your spouse second, yourself third, your children fourth, and then his work. And I'm saying, but God, the children, he said, they're going to grow up. They're going to be grown. And you would have cleaved to them so much, they may not be able to stand up on their own and go and be what they're supposed to be. The order is, and make sure you keep it in that order, and you'll be blessed. You will be blessed. And one thing I know about God, he's a forgiving God. We make mistakes. We do things, and we just know it's coming from God. I mean, we just know it's coming from him. But it's coming from a superficial demonic force that has your attention. Let me tell you, there are all kinds of assignments of Satan against the ministers and the people of God. I believe they have a special place God has in hell for ministers that don't follow his word, but grasping money from the people. Grasping money. Oh, they can articulate. That's why they went to school. They can articulate. But it's the spirit. The spiritual part is what's missing. God said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, because whatever you sow, you shall reap. Know that. Write it down. Put it somewhere in your house so you can see it. Put it in the bathroom. Glory be to God. But let God use you. Let God speak to your heart. He's not going to tell you to do something wrong. Something you already know might be wrong. God is not going to do that. Satan tempted Jesus when he was hungry. And if he attempt Jesus, he'll tempt you. My son once told me about the demon spirits that come up out of the Atlantic Ocean. And when they get on the ground, they take on human form. And they go out into the bars, into the churches. Their job is to go and disrupt the church, to get close to the pastor, so they can tear up the church, for the people to lose faith in the man of God. That's happened to several churches, personally that I know of, big churches. And it's also happened in my church. But God, you can't always trust everybody because they hickam a thigh or they can dance. It's not all in the dance. It's good to do that. Oh, it's good to do that. But let it be God. If you got a tongue, let it be God's tongue through the Holy Spirit, not something you heard from somebody else and you picked it up. That's like blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And that's the only thing that God will not forgive you for. God bless you. I love you, Pastor.
Praise God. We should now have the benediction. Let the word in my mouth.
Is there anyone that would like something to say, to add to or take away or whatever? I can't see your numbers, so if you're there, you can go ahead and speak out. Okay, Pastor, will you give us a benediction?
Let the words of my mouth.
Let the words of my mouth.
The meditation of my heart. Be acceptable in thine sight. O Lord. My health.
My strength.
And my redeemer.
In Jesus' holy name. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
God bless you. I hope you were blessed by something that God spoke to me for you tonight. Love you. Bye-bye.
I love to sing to you. enter in to your holy place.